Welcome back, everyone.
I'm Nicole.
And I'm Crystal. You're listening to Las Brujas and Friends podcast.
A podcast where we talk about legends and paranormal stories, sprinkled with true crime, extraterrestrial, and the like.
A little disclaimer, we're not professionals, we're not historians, we just love everything scary.
If you haven't already, which you should have, subscribe to and review this podcast.
In today's episode, I am not talking about leprechauns or fairies or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I went left on this one. I'm going to talk about Alcatraz.
And I'll go ahead and continue March Madness with some fairy tales, more of the lores around Ireland and the differences of what we think we know versus what is told from before.
Interesting. I'm intrigued. Okay, I guess you're going to have to start because my computer decided to restart right now. So.
All right. So on today's episode, I'm going to be talking about fairies and not your average Disney character that you see this little itty bitty thing with beautiful wings.
Thumbelina.
What you're looking at when we talk about fairies, we're going all the way back to the early 17th century, 18th century.
Those things have been around for a long time.
Yes.
Those date back so long, it's a little
and
freaky.
And even then, when you talk to people in today's world with where we are in time, they're always said that they were always the same size as you and I. So, yes, we could also say that, you know, you were a fairy. You didn't have the actual wings coming through, but they were depicted as life size, human size.
Doesn't the fairy in Tinkerbell in Hook with Robin Williams, doesn't she end up being life size for like a minute?
Yes. Who is that? Was that Julia Roberts?
I think it was.
Yeah.
If anybody in our audience has ever seen that movie. It's such an old movie. It's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
But that was weird when she was a like regular size. That's trippy.
And when you also talk about fairies too, in Ireland, fairies are different categories. They can be anywhere from goblins. They can also be hobgoblins, brownies, pixies, elves, dwarves.
What's a brownie?
I'll go over all of them. Oh, okay. So with the goblins, this is more of an ugly, bad-tempered being. They tend to live in dark places. They would wear clothes that meant that they were poor, imitations to miners' apparel. Hobgoblins lived in, they were fairies that lived in farms. So they loved the warmth of the heart of the earth, and they would go in, enter homes, or at least get near one. On occasion, they became a part of a nuisance, but they were generally good natured unless someone offended them. They were part of the brownie tribe, which brownies were these lone fairies that get attached to a house and live in a dark corner of the home in a cupboard or a hollow tree near a home.
A cupboard?
Mm-hmm.
Living with the tassas?
Right. Brownies are helpful fairies and they like keeping things tidy. Legend has it that they appreciate you when you leave out a bowl of cream as a reward.
Hold on a second. We need fairies. We can have put cream out, have them clean our dishes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Live in our cupboards, dust our things.
The pixies are the ones that are associated with England's West Country region. It is known as the Piskie in Cornwall. So centuries ago, these regions were almost unliterally believed that the pixies or piskies, piskies even had a piskie pow on the roof to ensure that these fairies had a dance floor of sorts. So most of the free time, that leisure time, our pixies or fairy friends would be dancing. They always were a group of people that always had music and drinking and all kinds of other things.
Sounds like my kind of people.
Right? They were very mischievous creatures as well. So they were capable of doing good, also harm to humans. So think of it like the duendes, how they would lure kids in. Uh-huh. That's some of the depictions for some of these fairies. So when you talk about elves, this is more of Norse mythology. So how it is these dark elves and light elves in Scotland. The dark elves were known as trolls.
Oh.
And in Danish, the lore made male elves appear as old men. And if you got too close, they would open their mouths and cause a sickness with their breath. Females danced in the moonlight and young men were warned to steer clear, less of charming elves to steal their heart. So if they fell for an elf, they would never come back. They would just pretty much be kidnapped.
Whoa.
Yeah. Dwarves were pretty much a particular fairy that associated with the Icelandic and Indian lore. Dwarves typically lived within the earth and mined for precious stones and metals. These magical stones gave them wisdom and the ability to become invisible.
These things are powerful. Mm-hmm.
There's two more. There's gnomes. So we already know gnomes as, you know, like goblins or dwarves. But they were classified as earth elementals in the 15th century. So they possessed immortal souls but did not live much longer than humans. They were also known for guarding vast treasures. And lastly are nymphs. These were nature fairies associated with Greek mythology. They normally appear in the guise of beautiful women who are associated with natural landscapes such as lakes, mountains, springs, or meadows. When we talk about fairies, the location we usually think about are going to be hills, mountaintops, mm-hmm. Or in behind nature, waterfalls. Yeah. They were known to be as famous as the Hollow Hills, where Tuatha De Danann fled and became the Sidh, meaning hill or mound or supernatural. It is also possible that the entrance to fairyland also lies at the bottom of a lake or a forest clearing in a mountain or moorland. So think of it as like a portal where you would walk to in between two trees of some sort.
Yeah.
This would open that portal of a doorway.
Crazy.
Going in and out. Most That's commonly crazy. Known is our fairy ring. The fairy ring that you would have would be a ring of mushrooms on the floor and grass.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And if you were to destroy it, there would be a curse upon you or your family if you destroyed it, because that was where they pretty much did their, like, that was their bonfire. Oh, essentially, they would dance inside of the ring. Yeah. And so, again, it's darker than the usual grass caused by fungus. I was telling Julie about it, and she's just like, fungus. Exactly. Well, yes, mushroom. Oh.
Oh, great. She's mm-hmm. never going to eat a mushroom ever again.
Right? So they would dance all the way, you know, beyond midnight. And on rare occasions, they were known to be at least these rings more than 100 years old. According to legend, again, once you step inside a fairy ring, you will succumb to an irresistible urge to dance and have no desire to leave. So the lore around that was you That's would crazy. Pretty much be entranced by their spell and never want to return. Or if you would return back, it would be a different time period. So That's like, you
crazy.
Know, you would think you would be a day and it's more like 20 years Whoa, past. Yes.
What? So it's time traveling as well?
Yes.
Whoa.
And so with Welsh fairy tales, the Vale of Neath, which is a Glamorganshire, is one of the most likely passages in the realm of fairies. Now, with Welsh, there was a little bit of common stories with the Celtic culture. And Celtic, we're thinking as early as 1200 BC. So Western Europe, including Britain, Ireland, France, and Spain, it's more of what did the fairies do amongst the human people? And mm-hmm. once they were aware that you weren't with another human, it was a fairy, mm-hmm. that's where they would be able to pretty much either lure you back to their home or you would never see them again.
Holy cow.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, now.
Fairies are intense.
Yeah, so the powers of fairies, they had different supernatural powers. Some could pretty much have strength. Others would have control over time and space. Others were pretty much the mercy of their human captors. So if they needed you to be their, like, jester, joke around, that's what you mm-hmm. would do until they were amused and let you go.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
And then, of course, there were others where they made it seem as if it was, like, an extraterrestrial experience.
Whoa.
Where they wanted to go back and they tried to take people back as witnesses, but nothing would ever happen again. But they
Are
were,
they
like,
the
you know.
Owls?
You think?
La lechuzas.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Some of them were called changelings, which were the shapeshifters as well. And those were based on power of most fairies, meaning they can transform into any form, making them as tiny or as huge as a wish. Some fairies control the weather for seasons. Mm. So if a fairy could cause illness, they would cause injury, even death, you doing a fairy stroke. That was part of their weapons, yes, especially towards an enemy. And with stories that I had listened to, I didn't really get an understanding of where the experience had taken place. I listened to two different videos And there, in each of them, there were witnesses saying, okay, yeah, I was captured by them. They sang some songs. This guy played a song on his instrument of it. But he was very vague with his responses of being captured. But he was like in trance where he wanted to share everything. But he was like, yeah. So we went into the fairy land and I was pretty scared. And I met the people and, you know, we had a good time.
we had a good time.
You look like you're still on some type of drugs going on in all of the videos. So it was pretty weird. Also, if you would sit on specific stones where the fairyland entrance was, there's a stone of fertility. So people be fertile after sitting on the stone. A lot of people do definitely believe in it.
That's so weird. Mm-hmm. Sorry if anybody believes in it. It's just weird to me. That's okay. It's weird to me.
Also, this also helped influence your crops. So if you allow the fairy to live on your land and you gave them whatever they wish for, they would also help you and flourish with crops and goodwill and luck and
fairies
whatnot.
Fairies are extremely powerful. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And so other articles that I did learn were fairies could be another word for like leprechaun.
Oh, yeah, yeah. When I was doing the research for last week, it said leprechauns are a type of fairy. Mm-hmm. But then a lot of other sources say they're different. Mm-hmm. But I mean, who knows?
Yep. That's what I found so far with all of the fairy information. It was opening to find different cultures linking little by little pieces. But if you ever refer to them as little people, most locals would say that you were being rude.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Uh-huh. Because they weren't considered little people. They were actually average size to us.
Oh, wow.
Nothing that I could find where they would find artifacts or skeletons of some sort.
No, they're mythical. Yeah. You're not going to find those things.
Yep.
That's so weird.
Mm-hmm.
Never destroy a mushroom circle, guys. Now you know. Okay. My turn.
Yes.
We're talking about the very famous Alcatraz. And per usual, I'm starting at the beginning. This place has so much history, an extreme amount of history, that if I covered every little bit of history of this place and who's been there and who hasn't, we would be here all night.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be a good idea now since we're all stuck in our houses, but we're not going to do that. We're just going to try and keep it to our regular time. So, starting from the beginning. Alcatraz, also known as The Rock, ran as a maximum security prison from 1934 to 1963. It got its name The Rock because the prison was on an island in the San Francisco Bay. And I actually think it is a rock. I don't think it's considered like land.
Uh-huh.
Because I remember reading something about when the first voyagers landed on there that they said there was like no soil. Felt like rock.
Yeah.
So that's why. Alcatraz is only 1.24 miles from the San Francisco shore, but the waters are so cold, it's almost impossible to swim across the water from Alcatraz to the shore. You have to have like proper gear and training to do it.
I'm pretty sure there were a couple people who attempted to do like the Guinness World Record from swimming from Alcatraz to the bay.
Yeah.
And were never successful.
One guy was.
Really?
Yeah. But it was more recent. So I'm thinking, I think like the wetsuit probably just got better.
But also
better.
Know that sharks, great whites, are in that area too, aside from the seals.
The seals. Oh, I forgot about the seals. Yeah. There's a lot of seals there. But I don't think it's the animals that get them. I think it's cold water.
Yeah.
And the current, yeah. So the early years of the island go back to 1775. They actually go back before then because apparently Native Americans lived on this rock. And
what?
There are some sources say that they buried their people on there, that there's like a tribe that lived on there.
Oh, that was a graveyard?
Yes. But like I said before, it's a rock. So I don't know if I buy it that it was an Indian burial ground.
Yeah.
But who knows? It could have been. So a Spanish explorer, Juan Manuel de Ayala, named the island Alcatraz. And it was actually, he named it in Spanish. And in Spanish, it's La Isla de los Alcatraces, which translates to Island of the Pelicans.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
What?
You knew that?
Yes.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Now I know. Okay. 75 years later, in 1850, President Fillmore, Millard Fillmore, signed an order to reserve the island for military use. And there's, like I said, there's a whole bunch of history on it. So it was like came from Native Americans, apparently. And then somebody found it and like conquered it. And then it got taken over by the government pretty much for military use.
Yeah.
And then after military use, you know what happens. So Alcatraz was not originally made to be a prison, but by the late 1850s, the U.S. Army began holding military prisoners there. And you already know, bad things were going down.
Almost like a Guantanamo Bay.
They thought it was an ideal location to keep people because the waters were not made for swimming. It was nearly impossible to survive that swim. So they knew people were not going to... I mean, I'm sure they knew people would escape, but they knew they wouldn't be successful.
I think amongst the tours that I had gone to for Alcatraz, there were a few attempted, but they were either captured or they drowned.
Yep. So they had it right. They knew that that was a good place for a prison. All right, so we're fast forwarding. We're going to jump all the way to 1933. Alcatraz was released to the U.S. Justice Department, and they wanted a federal prison that could house the most dangerous criminals and other penitentiaries could not handle. So they wanted to put all the bad, bad, bad guys in one place. That's crazy that they were willing to buy out this island to make a prison for really bad guys. Mm-hmm. So they constructed the existing building that was there that they originally made for military use. There was like cannons and everything in there at one point.
Yeah.
So they used that building, that structure that was there, and then they created a maximum security facility. And thus we have Alcatraz. What it's most famous for is that prison. So let's talk about the cells inside of the prison.
Yes.
Each cell had a small sink that only ran cold water, a small sleeping cot, and a toilet, except in certain cells, but we'll get to that. There was A, B, C, and D block. There were 336 cells in B and C block, and then 42 in D block. Mm-hmm. So kind of like, you know, like a ladder, A, B, C, D.
Yeah.
A was hardly used, and then B and C were mostly used, and then D was... not a good place.
Maximum security.
Yeah. Maximum security. B and C block cells were, they were 5 feet by 9 feet. Most of the men that went into these cells could put one arm, reach out, and they could touch both walls. So very small.
Yeah.
Really small prisons. D block was segregation. So there were 36 segregation cells and 5 to 6 solitary confinement cells. Nobody wanted to be a D block. D block was... You didn't want to graduate to D block, even though it said that in D block, since it was higher up, it wasn't as cold as B and C block. That was the only perk of getting up to D block. It was known as the hole. In D block, they were confined to their cells 24 hours a day, unless they were on their weekly rec day. They went out to the rec, to the yard, for 1 day a week for only a couple of hours. Other than that, they were stuck in their cells 24 hours a day.
And you have to understand, in San Francisco, it's foggy most of the time.
Yeah, there's no sun.
It's cold.
Mm-hmm. So A block was only used a few times. They mainly used it as storage. The only time they did use it is when 3 inmates attempted an escape and were on trial for the death of 2 Alcatraz guards. They kept them there separated by a few cells in between them. So that was the only time they used A block. Other than that, storage. What were they storing? What do you need to store at a prison?
Military weapons.
Guns?
Yeah.
Cots? I doubt it. I'm sure these guys barely had like a piece of cotton to lay on.
Maybe it was an extended break room.
Coffee. Yeah. Some donuts.
Well, I mean, you think about it. You have a lot of high profile
criminals. Inmates.
Yeah.
They're really
And they were serving mainly life sentences, I believe, too. No?
Mm-mm. They were just really, really bad. Like, mainly mobsters.
Wow.
Gangsters were in there. I'll get to it. I didn't know that Alcatraz was more than just a prison. You probably did. I didn't. There were 3 apartment buildings, 1 large duplex, and 4 large wooden houses for senior officers. There were about 300 civilians that lived there that included women and children. They had a bowling alley, a convenience store, and a soda fountain shop.
In Alcatraz Island?
Yeah. A boat made 12 scheduled runs to Van Ness Street Pier every day, and that's how the families would do their big shopping. And the warden of the prison lived in a house adjacent to the cell house and would use inmates who had good conduct records to clean his house and cook.
Wow.
All of that was going on. I had no idea. All I remember in my memory is seeing like a rock and a prison, and that's it. Nothing else. I don't remember anything else.
But I remember there was maybe a fort by the Golden Gate Bridge that you could see to Alcatraz. That was just a regular military fort that they had. But when you were on the boat, you can either drive around or go into it as a tour. Because they have different tours. They even have it during Halloween, I think, too.
Ooh, that sounds like fun. Oh, and there was one crazy rule that they had. And that got discontinued in the late 1930s. So it was around for over 10 years. Mm-hmm. It was the rule of silence. Inmates were not allowed to talk to each other at all.
Come on, they're mobsters.
At all, except during mealtimes and rec time. And you're right, they were mobsters. So they would empty their toilets of water to use as a communication device.
Huh.
They emptied their toilet, the pipes.
Uh-huh.
So there's no water, and they would talk through them, the toilets.
Ew.
As like a phone. Isn't that crazy? Because mobsters always, exactly, mobsters are like that.
Whoa.
Every time I read stories about different gangsters, I'm like, they're freaking genius.
Yeah.
How would you even think of doing something like that, right? Well, I guess survival, right?
Wow.
Okay, so, but the reason, okay, I was reading my notes too. So the reason we're here though is because we want to hear about how haunted Alcatraz is, right?
Yes.
So one source, and I don't think this is 100% correct, but they said there were 8 people murdered by inmates, 5 men committed suicide, and 15 died from natural illnesses. At least that was the death count that one gave. But there were a lot of guards that were killed, too. I don't think that counts the guards.
But also keep in mind, too, like, famous people like Al Capone, he did have a disease.
He had syphilis.
Yeah. So.
But he didn't die there.
But it's a disease.
Yeah. Ooh. But in Alcatraz, everybody was in their own cell. Nobody was canoodling with their neighbor.
that we know of.
But I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Or Al Capone used safe sex, because I don't think anybody else in there had syphilis.
Shit, they had a grocery store.
They had the oh my gosh, that's
a bowling
so
alley.
Weird. That is interesting. Okay, so remember the whole cell block D. Inmates would be kept in these cells for up to 19 days in complete isolation.
Darkness.
In the isolation cells, inmates were forced to strip naked, and they had to stay naked while they were in these cells. Their mattresses were removed every morning, and there was only a small hole in the floor that they would use as a bathroom. They were fed bread and water once a day, and in solitary confinement, the cells were pitch dark. That's torture.
We got to figure out where the hole's at.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm, in the dark.
I read that the guys that weren't in isolation, the isolation cells, but they were still in deep block. They were still alone. I guess not the isolation dark cells, but the other ones. That they would rip a button off of their clothes. They would close their eyes, throw the button, and then they would open their eyes and they would have to find the button. That's how they kept themselves occupied.
Wow.
Yeah. Mobsters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would have never thought to do that, to play my own game. So funny. Okay. D block. Okay. A man died in cell 14D in the 1940s.
Mm-hmm.
The night before his death, he kept screaming that a creature with glowing eyes was trying to kill him. But the guards thought he was reacting to being put in isolation. They thought he was just being dramatic. The next morning, the guards found this man strangled on the floor.
What?
Mm-hmm. They did an autopsy and he was strangled. But he was in isolation.
Wow.
So something got him.
Mm-hmm.
They say when you go into this cell, you feel like you're not alone and it's really cold. Some people claim that it will suddenly feel very tense in the cell, like an overwhelming overwhelming tension. Another interesting about this is when the man died, the head count. Oh, this one was trippy. So obviously he died, so the head count would be one less. But when the guards would do their count, they would count the same amount of guys. Not like, say there was how many? 32 cells in D block. Instead of counting 31, they would count 32. So then they would do the count again, and then they would get 31. And they're like, that's weird.
Yeah.
Where did that extra person come from?
Yeah.
And then the same thing with the guards as well, is that they would see this man within, like, when they were in the play, wow, in the yard.
Yeah.
They were at recess. Why was I thinking of school, the playtime? But the guards would say that when they were in the yard, they would see him like sitting at a table, and then they would do the double take.
Yeah.
And then he was gone. He wasn't there. Mm-hmm. So his spirit, whoever this man was in 14D, is still in Alcatraz.
Wow.
Next, I want to talk about the Battle of Alcatraz. On May 2nd, 1946, inmates went through. I can't talk now because all I hear is coconut. Coconut has been making noise for like 5 minutes and she's still making noise. I think she's done. Okay. Some inmates tried to escape Alcatraz. Bernard Coy was the ringleader of the plan. He had been watching the guards closely, learning their routines and looking for any weaknesses. He eventually found one, so he noticed that the gun cage on cell block B and C, I think it was C. What did I say? I didn't say it yet. I say it at one point. Whatever cell block they were in, there was a gun cage. He realized that if he lost enough weight, he would be able to squeeze through the bars of this gun cage. Yes.
Okay.
I think what happened on May 2nd, when they finally went through with the plan, he had lost 20 pounds. So I don't know how long it took him, but he ended up losing 20 pounds. And around 1:30 p.m., he and a few other inmates proceeded. So as one guard was letting them out, I'm guessing it was for to go to the yard.
Yeah.
He was letting them out. And of course, they
ambushed
the guard and they knocked him unconscious. Yeah. One of Coy's accomplices was Marvin Hubbard. And they took the guard's keys, and along the way to the gun cage, they opened a few other inmate cells. So now we had multiple inmates that were out of their cells. Coy used some pipes to pry open the bars where the gun cage was, and he squeezed on through. And while he was doing this, another guard came, and he strangled him with a necktie, but he didn't kill him. He just strangled him enough to put him unconscious. Mm-hmm. And then they locked up these two guards in a cell to have them as hostages.
Okay.
And altogether, there were 5 inmates in on the plan, but I think there were a few more that they let out. Oh, but here was the thing. So they had these guards as hostages, and they were going to use them to negotiate their way back to San Francisco, which makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to try and negotiate? Often, they were just going to let you go? I don't know. The plan didn't make any sense to me. And it didn't work because as they were trying to get out of their cell block, they had the key ring with all the keys. And the one key missing was the one to get out of the cell block.
Oh, come on.
The guard, the original guard that they knocked unconscious and took his keys, he was smart enough and he took that key off. He took the cell block key off of the key ring and he hid it. So he was kind of like one step ahead. He knew what they were going to do next. So he kind of saved the day a little bit for it not being, I guess, worse than it could have been.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, though, one of the conspirators, Joseph Paul Kretzer, panicked because now an alarm was going off.
Yeah.
And everybody knew that there were inmates loose. And he freaked out and he ended up shooting the guards that they were originally holding as hostages.
Well, they had the warden right next to the facility, right? Yeah. You said?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they knew right away. From land, police, military, and prison guards, from land and from Alcatraz, they were launching rifle grenades into the building.
Mm.
Yeah, and it was already starting to get dark. During emergencies at Alcatraz, a prison siren would go off and not only alerted the police, back on land, but people could hear it. So people were gathering around the shore to see what was happening. And a reporter wrote that it looked like the island was a ring of fire in the night because it was on fire. They were launching grenades into the place. Yeah. On May 4th, so what, like 2 days later, the smoke had settled enough and the guards went back into the cell block. In total, 5 died, 3 inmates, 2 guards. Oh, and it was all in cell block D and C. And then here's the haunting part of it. The inmates that were said to get trapped, the 3 of them, or how many did I say we were in on the plan? 4. 5?
5.
5? Whatever. They got stuck in a passageway, in a utility passage. And that's where they eventually were shot to death. Today, if you go into the prison, the passage is actually blocked from view by a door. But people claim to hear banging noises coming behind that door.
No way.
And then if an employee opens the door to check in on it, there's nobody there. But you'll hear banging and screaming and moaning and all these things. There was another inmate, Abby.
I'm going to go with Abby.
Abby Maldowitz, also known as Butcher. He was a hitman. And he was murdered by another inmate, brutally murdered in the laundry room of the prison. And this was also located in cell block C. Cell block C is haunted. Mm-hmm. So there was another escaped. This one involves Rufus McCain, as well as Henry Young and Arthur Baker. So there were 5 in this one, 2. That's weird. Mm-hmm. I put these 3 guys' names and then 2 other inmates because I guess the other 2 other inmates didn't do anything. So anyways, these guys made it all the way to the shore. So they escaped the actual prison. They got to the shore, but McCain couldn't swim.
And I remember hearing this one in the tour.
They were going back and forth and they wanted to leave in like 45 minutes of them trying to figure out how they're going to get this guy to shore, like the people that escaped. The guards caught up to them.
Yeah.
And then Barker ended up being killed along with 2 guards. So 2 guards, 1 of the escapees got killed. McCain and Young did not get killed. They didn't get shot to death or anything. They were put into solitary confinement for almost a year.
Wow.
Remember how bad solitary confinement was? Almost a year. So Young resented McCain because he believed that they would have been able to escape if they weren't arguing with McCain for 45 minutes about him not being able to swim. So one day after they were released from solitary confinement, Young snuck into an area McCain was at and stabbed him. McCain ended up dying a couple of hours later in the hospital.
Wow.
I'd be pissed too.
You made me do all of this. Yes. Then you finally tell me when we're at shore. You don't know how to swim.
Yes. I would have been mad.
Get caught up? No, forget it.
I would have left him. I would have left him. Okay. There's so many stories like this. There was a lot of inmates in this place.
Yeah.
A lot of famous ones. Mm-hmm. Obviously the worst ones. So there's a lot of stories. And I think the most important thing is how I think criminals already deal with some sort of mental issues. And then this being put into this place, oh, forget it. Mm-hmm. Forget it. It was torture. I think they were pushed beyond their mental limits.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's why it's so haunted.
Having a small room on an island, knowing that you're not going to be able to escape. Yeah.
You have no chance. Mm-hmm. Your chances are very slim. Mm-hmm. It's not just escaping the prison. It's escaping the prison and then having to swim over a mile in freezing cold water.
And knowing that no one has successfully attempted all of it in one shot.
Yeah, there's a lot of steps because even if you make the trip through the water, by the time you get there,
out of the prison, out onto the shore to get to the other side of the pier.
And then hope when you reach land on the other side, nobody's waiting there for you, right? And chances are slim to none. You're going to get caught up. And
boats were not quiet back then.
Yeah, no, not at all. So, I mean, this place was torture. Torture for these criminals. I mean, I know they're criminals. They're bad people. But still, like, this was really bad. So, one man, Rube Percival, purposely cut off all of his fingers on one hand with a hatchet. And while he was doing this, he was laughing.
Oh, no.
And after he cut off these fingers, he continued laughing and asked a guard to cut off his other fingers because he couldn't do it anymore without the other hand with the fingers. He was losing it. He lost his marbles. Another one, Ed Wootke. He used a pencil sharpener blade to slice his jugular and killed himself. And then Joe Bowers attempted to cut himself as well, but he tried to use his eyeglasses, but it failed. So he ended up climbing the outer fence, like trying to run away, but he knew that he would be shot down, and he fell 75 feet to his death.
Ooh.
So now we know the fence around it's 75 feet. Mm-hmm. So to escape is, that's a job.
Yeah. A lot of people say, at least the tour guides would say that they were taken over by some type of evil spirit to have commit these crazy things.
Well, evil spirit or insanity.
True.
I think they could be the same thing. Mm-hmm. So there. Oh, and then apparently we think there's only 4 cell blocks, but since this was like a fort before it was a prison, there's a dungeon under cell block A, and it's a catacomb-like basement that was used when they wanted prisoners to have worse conditions than the hole. So imagine though how bad the hole was, mm-hmm. cell block D, and then having to be put in the dungeon.
Yeah.
There they would strip prisoners, chain them to a wall standing position, and they hardly fed them.
Wow.
So the tours do not offer dungeon tours like the tours they have now. But if you ask one of the tour guides if they have extra time, they'll let you go to the dungeons. Ooh. They'll let you go to the catacombs down there, which I don't know. People who have gone down there say that they hear screams and noises. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're torturing people down there. So there's a passage between B and C blocks. These two blocks is where most of the prisoners were kept, and they actually named it Broadway. That was the nickname, which is okay. One of the eeriest things people hear in the passageway is the sound of, okay, this freaks me out. What sounds like men running is what people will hear coming from this passageway.
Hmm.
People claim that they hear voices in the area, whether it be talking, crying, moaning. And prisoners actually claim to have seen strange things as well. They claim to have seen floating lights. And these are the prisoners.
Orbs.
Yeah, so they're even claiming. Or some prisoners say that the doorway to the passage would slam shut even after it was already closed.
Wow.
Ooh, creepy. I think most of the tours there don't do ghost tours, right? It's mostly like historical tours.
Yes, it's only during Halloween time when they offer the paranormal tours for the evening.
Yeah. So Alcatraz was shut down as a prison in 1963, and 6 years later, a group of Native Americans occupied the island. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember? You don't remember looking at it and in front of, I don't know if it was in front, I don't know if it was what part of the building, but it said Indians are here or something like that. It was in red paint.
Yeah.
You remember that? Because these Native Americans ended up occupying, like they went there, they kind of took over the land.
Mm.
They were demanding for a college to be built for Native students, but after the leader's daughter died from falling down the stairs, the government shut off the water supply and electricity on Alcatraz. A large fire erupted, destroying many of the buildings on the island. Assaults were reported, and eventually in 1971, the remaining people were forcibly removed.
Wow.
I never knew that. So his daughter died.
If they need to evacuate an island, they're going to do it in any way possible.
Yeah, but they were trying to, like, claim the land because they believe that Native Americans had the land originally, and they were trying to take it back.
Mm.
They didn't. I don't think they did it in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And then his daughter died.
Yeah.
Jeez Louise. Which brings me to a ghost sighting, which can kind of connect. Maybe it doesn't. So a woman and her husband were on the tour of Alcatraz.
Mm-hmm.
She took a picture on her phone of a window in a cell. And when she looked at the picture, there was a face of a woman looking out the window.
Mm-hmm.
She thought it was like just a reflection, a smudge, something. But they say the woman looks like she's wearing clothing and a hairstyle from the 30s or 40s.
Ooh.
I think it could have been that girl that died in there.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But then again, apparently there's a lot of people that lived on this island. Rock. Whatever you want to call it.
Paradise.
Oh, it's far from paradise. Or I don't know. There's a lot of people that live. It could have been a Native American.
Yeah.
There's, I think, stories of guards that work there. Or it could be tour guides. Either way, they say they've seen apparitions of Native Americans. So that could very well be true. I don't know. Yeah. I didn't go that far back in the history. The last thing I want to talk about is two of the most famous mobsters that stayed on Alcatraz. Al Scarface Capone and Robert Birdman Stroud.
Ooh.
Those are only two. There was a lot. Like Machine Gun Kelly stayed there. There's a lot of famous criminals that stayed there. I didn't want to get into that because I started writing notes about Al Capone. And I was like, I can go on forever. Al Capone was intense.
Spiderweb.
His life was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to talk about these two very briefly.
Okay.
So the stories that involve these two are interesting because they didn't die there. They only served some time there. So it's, to me, all of the rumors that their spirits are on Alcatraz is kind of weird because they didn't die there. But I mean, they did go in.
They
something intense.
Their presence, their aura.
Yeah. And it's a little traumatizing being there. So maybe that's why they sometimes go back.
Maybe.
So Birdman was a hitman for the mob. He had developed this obsession with canaries, which is how he got his name. And I think in the other penitentiaries he was in, he was allowed to have canaries. But while on Alcatraz, he was not allowed to have any birds. So he had no birds.
Pelicans he could hear.
Yeah, he could just look at those or listen to the seals.
Mm-hmm.
He was mainly kept in cell block D or in the hospital area. And people claim to have seen his ghost wandering the halls of the prison, whether in D block or in the hospital. Park rangers say they hear sounds coming down the stairs from the off-limits hospital section. But when they go check, nobody is there. So they think it's Birdman's ghost wandering the halls over there. But it doesn't make sense to me because I'm like, he didn't die there.
Yeah.
And I don't remember how much time he spent there. 7 years? That's a long time, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Al Scarface Capone is another mobster, and he was more of a leader, not necessarily like a hitman for a mob. He was like the leader of the mob. He was there for 4.5 years, and while he was there, he was known to play his banjo. His wife had sent him a banjo that he was allowed to carry around with him everywhere, and people claim that they hear a banjo playing in the prison. And like, why else would you hear a banjo?
Yeah.
If the only person that had a banjo was Al Capone while he was there, so...
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. That's all I'm going to say today.
Wow.
Because I could sit here, like I said, for hours. There's so much. I wanted to talk about Machine Gun Kelly, but I think we should do a mobster true crime marathon.
Ooh, yes.
Because there's a lot of true crime involved.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're very fascinating people.
I'm in.
Right?
Yeah, definitely.
So... that's definitely coming in the future.
We do have a mobster museum here in Vegas.
We do. And they actually have some of Al Capone's stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We should go to the museum. It could be because
they have a lot of their stuff.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, I think it's definitely, I mean.
If we could get
it. Who has the banjo? I wonder if they have the banjo. I know they have the payphone or something from the club that he managed, the Four Deuces in Chicago. I know the Mob Museum has that.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm most interested at the Mob Museum is to go into their underground area.
Ooh.
You need like a password to go under there. And there's like a bar.
What?
And they have a whole show. Yeah. Sorry, I just gave the secret away. But yeah, maybe we'll do mobsters in a couple more episodes.
Yep.
So that's it. That's all I have for tonight. Today. Well, it's tonight for us. It might be morning for you guys.
Yep. But that's all right. Hopefully we were able to keep your minds distracted, informed, something you could share with somebody else that you happen to see going along your day, whether you're working or staying at home.
Yeah.
We appreciate you guys.
Very stressful out there. I think you guys can tell we're a little stressed. we're definitely stressed, just like the rest of the country right now, but we're going to be okay. We'll get through this together.
And what more can we do? We podcast on our free time.
Heck yeah. Mm-hmm. We do something that's fun.
Send us some of your ideas, anything you feel that we could research to help us influence others on either what you learned as a kid growing up that scared you or something that happened that is an unsolved mystery.
Yeah, like we can cover all the stuff that you can find on the internet today. But if you guys have any really niche, like really tinier stories that we can still research, but...
And fall in a rabbit hole.
Yeah, fall in a rabbit hole. But stories that aren't well known out on mainstream media, but you guys still have like some legend or true crime mm-hmm. or something like that you want us to talk about, let us know.
This wraps up this episode. Subscribe to Las Brujas and Friends podcast.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Las Brujas Podcast and on Twitter at Brujas Podcast. We would love to hear from you.
Any feedback, suggestions, or personal testimonials that confirm these stories, we would love to read them.
Yes, we would love to read them. I was
going to say listen to them, but you can't really listen while you're reading.
Hey, by the way, if you guys do want to send us a voice message, we will listen to those. Yep. So, question for you. Have you ever been to Alcatraz? I used to visit the bay all the time. Never been on the rock.
On the pier we have, but that's as far as we go.
Yeah, that's as far as I've gotten. And do you believe...
Fairies.
Are they actually our height, average height, 5'2", 5'3"? Mm-hmm. Is that average height?
Would you wander into a fairy land?
I would.
Mm-hmm. Join us next week. We post every Friday. Bye.